قل من يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أمن يملك السمع والأبصار ومن يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ومن يدبر الأمر فسيقولون الله فقل أفلا تتقون قل من يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أمن يملك السمع والأبصار ومن يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ومن يدبر الأمر فسيقولون الله فقل أفلا تتقون
من الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. This is our 15th class on Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We started chapter 2 of this book as we broke it down last week. Know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female, to learn and act upon the following three matters. And we said there, chapter 2 is three matters. The first one is, we're going to break it down into six subcategories. Number one, the first is that Allah created us. And we took that last week. A. B is, which we'll start on today, inshallah, is that He provided sustenance for us. أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا وَرَزَقَنَا. Since rizq is a matter that usually consumes one's worries and thoughts in this life, possibly more than any other matter, which may at time lead to deficiency in tawheed and aqidah, it's discussed extensively in the Quran and Sunnah to put you at ease and peace, but more importantly, to complete and fulfill your tawheed. Just as the Lord we spoke about last week is independent in His rububiyyah and sovereign in His lordship in His rububiyyah, likewise, He is independent and sovereign in His rizq, the provider. We mentioned that the Quran, really to summarize the proof, five times we mentioned that last week, there's five verses that Allah says, وَلَا إِن سَأَلْتَمْ, if you ask them about matters of rububiyyah, lordship, the arrogant kuffar of Quraysh will say Allah. Those are five, وَلَا إِن سَأَلْتَمْ. Here, there's even two additional different ones, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ, similar but a little bit different. If Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ, tell them, who provides you? Twice in the Quran, and likewise, those arrogant people of Quraysh say Allah is the one who provides for them. In Surah Saba, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ. Tell them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the mushrikeen, who gives you provision? Who's the one who gives you provision? From the heavens and the earth? They will say Allah. They admit it. Even in Surah Yunus, a second time, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ. Tell them, Muhammad, say Muhammad, who provides you from the sky and from the earth? And who gives you your hearing and your eyesight? And who brings out the living from the dead and the dead from the living? And who disposes, وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ, who disposes all affairs? فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ, they will say Allah. Al-Raziq and Al-Razzaq are both the names of Allah pertaining to given provision.
all of Allah's names are beyond what we can imagine of their beauty and their perfection. Both names here, we said, pertain to Allah given provision. So are they both the same exact? Does Allah have two names for the same matter? What's the difference between Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq? Ar-Raziq is the quality of Allah, we take from it the quality of Allah, the eternal, prescribing of provision for His creation. Allah prescribed for every creation its provision in His eternal ilm. He destined your rizq before you were born. He ordered the pen to write it 50,000 years before the heavens and the earth were created. His eternal knowledge, His eternal ilm, knew your provision even before that. That's Ar-Raziq. Ar-Raziq is basically prescribing your provision. To prescribe doesn't necessarily mean to give. So here's where the quality of Ar-Razzaq comes in. Ar-Razzaq is the one who organizes, fulfills, executes, giving you your provision. Not moment by moment, but if there's a time measure below that, it's probably a yaktic second or something like that. A yaktic second by yaktic seconds. And if there's something smaller than that, then use that measure. Moment by moment, yaktic second by yaktic second, He gives you your provision. Ar-Razzaq is abundant in giving you that which He prescribed for you. He's the utmost generous, continuous provider with abundance in provision, following provision. One ni'mah after a ni'mah. Summed up briefly, the difference between, in a nutshell, Ar-Raziq prescribed provision. Ar-Razzaq gives you the provision, fulfills it and gives you the provision. Al in both of these names of Allah, Al in Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq is the encompassing, Al-Istighraq, all types of provision. Al-Air is similar to and interchangeable with the Kul, all provision. So we took the definition of provider, Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq. What's the definition of provision? We all think we know provision, what provision or rizq is. Ibn Mandur defines it as maddiyan or ma'nawiyan. Provision is both maddiyan and ma'nawiyan, meaning both materialistic and otherwise. Rizq is broader than materialistic matters. Allah blessing you with Islam, that's rizq. Allah increasing your iman, that's rizq. Our tawheed classes and learning, that's rizq. Your spouse, that's rizq. Your kids, that's rizq. Your wealth, that's rizq. Your health, that's rizq. Your sleep, that's rizq. Your peace of mind is rizq. If Allah grants you Jannah, may Allah grant you all Firdaus al-A'la, that and what's in Jannah of its pleasure is also rizq. In order to complete your tawheed, you need to understand fully that Ar-Razzaq is Allah. You need to purify your heart from any type of feeling that anyone other than Ar-Raziq, Ar-Razzaq provides you. And you need to let that belief sink in and register deep down in your heart. You believe wholeheartedly that Allah is Razzaq. Your provision is in the sky and in the earth, is in the sky. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ in Surah Al-Dhariyat. In the heaven is your provision in that which you were promised. That's what you got to believe. Someone might say, you know, get real. Speak realistic. How do you say my provision is in the heaven when my job is right here, a couple miles down the road? How do you say my provision is in the heaven when my business is right down the street? How do you say my provision is in the heaven when my checking account is right here? And all my money that I need and my car and my house are all right here. How is it on earth when you say it's in the sky? The thing about it is that all those are means of provision. Asbab. Those are all means. Ar-Razzaq created those means to attain rizq. The boss was guided from Allah, from on top of seven skies, to sign over the check and hand it to you every week. The rizq came from Allah is merely ameen. Every customer that walks into your business, walk in by direction from the heavens to bring you the rizq. Now who is in control? Your boss or Allah? The one who brings him to your shop? The one who makes him sign the check? Allah wanted to draw the attention that it's in His sustenance, that it's in His complete and full control in the sky and not on the earth. Ibn Qudama and Al-Qurtubi narrated with a chain that Al-Asma'i, he said, I was leaving a masjid in Basra in Iraq. I was leaving and I was walking in the alley and a Bedouin approached with a bow and a sword, very gruff and rude looking. And he asked, which tribe you belong to? Al-Asma'i said, I'm from Asma, the tribe of Asma. He said, are you the one they call Al-Asma'i? You're the big famous scholar they call Al-Asma'i? He said, yes. He gave him salam. He sat down. The Bedouin asked Al-Asma'i, where do you come from? What area? Tell me more about where you came from. He said, I came from a place, Al-Asma'i wanted to use it for da'wah. He said, I come from a place where they recite the word of Allah. The Bedouin said, there is a word of Allah that's being recited on the tongues of humans? He said, yes. The Bedouin said, recite to me. He started reciting Al-Dhariyat until he got to verse 22 from Al-Dhariyat. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُوا. The Bedouin said, enough. Asma'i said, this is the word of Allah. The Bedouin said, this is the word of Allah. He said, yes, this is the word of Allah. He revealed it to his Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Bedouin was astonished. He got up, he slaughtered his camel, he skinned it, and he said, Asma'i, come help me give the flesh for all the poor people in the town as charity. Then he broke his sword and bow and faded into the desert, reciting over and over again, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. Asma'i said, I began to blame myself. Why wasn't I as strong as this man in his belief? He took that verse to heart. The Bedouin basically heard that verse, and a lot of them were sharp in Arabic. He took the verse and he took it to heart. He used to stress and in wild pursuit over provision. So he said, why on earth have I been stressing? Basically, that's what he was saying. Why on earth was I stressing and killing myself to get something guaranteed to me in the top of the seven heavens? It brought him comfort and ease knowing that rizq is coming from the heavens. The years went on, and Asma'i said, I went to Hajj with Harun al-Rashid. When I got to Mecca, someone was calling me, Asma'i. I looked back from the crowd, and it was that Bedouin, pale and old looking. He was weak and old and pale looking now. He said to me, sit down. Read to me more from the Quran. So he began to read the Dhariyat again until he got to the same verse. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. The Bedouin said, I found what Allah said to be true. Read more for me. Continue reading for me. He said, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. By the Lord of the heavens and the earth, it is truth, just as it is truth that you can speak. An oath. Allah gives an oath by Himself. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. An oath followed by لَحَقْ. Lam in لَحَقْ is lam التوكيد. The lam is assurance, emphasis, affirmation, assertiveness. To make you sure that the rizq is from the sky. When the Bedouin heard that, he shouted, who angered Allah so much that Allah the Mighty, the Sublime, the Jaleel, they did not believe in Him, that Allah needed to give an oath? He said it three times, over and over again. The third time, he died. The verse melted him to death. مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Your provision is in heaven, just as true as you speak. Why was the parable of speaking used in relation to rizq, to provision? Allah is saying for two reasons. Allah is saying, be assured that your provision is coming to you from heaven just as certain and definite as you speak. You have any doubt that you speak? No. So just as you don't have any doubt on the fact that you speak, don't have any doubt that your provision is coming to you from the heaven. That's the first one. Second one is, second reason, relationship between the parable of sustenance in the sky and you speaking. Just as you speak, each one of you speaks, can anyone speak and use your tongue? No one can take your tongue, your mouth, your throat, your vocal cords and speak. So just like no one can speak using your mouth, no one can take your sustenance. Relax. It's coming to you. Your rizq is coming to you. Why so much oaths combined with confirmation and assurances in this verse in particular and other verses and many other hadith that we would never have time to discuss in one or numerous halaqat? To establish tawheed in an area that's weakness to many. That's how sums it up. It's a matter that distresses people. It consumes their thoughts, money, rent, food, retirement, savings. Allah wants you to live a tawheed-filled life that entails a stress-free life, a relaxed life. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. In Surah Hud, Allah says, no moving creature, no moving creation on this earth, but the provision comes down from Allah. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. He knows, Allah knows the dwelling place for that creation and its deposit. All Allah has in a clear book. The provision is who and on who? وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. On Allah. On your boss? Not on your boss. On your parents? On a government paycheck? On a human? On a corporation? On a nation? No. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. Do from Allah. Humans don't give provision to each other. Humans are means Allah created to give you the provision. Many may think in times of hardship, financial hardship especially, that Allah forgot about them. They may not say it, but it comes to mind. That's when the second part of the verse comes into play. He knows your dwelling and your deposit. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا مُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. More assurances. Relax. He knows where you're at from the time you're in the uterus to the time you enter your grave, and after that and before that and in between that. You're going through difficult times. Allah didn't forget about it. That's what وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا مُسْتَوْدَعَهَا means. If Allah promised every animal its provision, is He going to leave out humans when they were the most honored of Allah's creation? وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. And we have honored the children of Adam. We will provide, Allah said, we will provide for animals. So do you think He's going to leave out those more honored human beings? Will Allah promise to provide sustenance to those who defame Him, saying He has a son, and leave out those who say that La ilaha illallah? His provision reaches all, animals, kafir and Muslim. In a way, Allah corrected Ibrahim in his dua. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Ibrahim said in his dua, famous dua, Lord, Ya Allah, make Mecca, this city, a place of security, safe place, and provide its believing people with fruits, provision, give them provision. Allah answered, and He said, the believing. قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. In provision, they're alike. Establish now to complete your tawheed that your rizq is in Allah's hand. Do it right now. No boss, no business, no nation, no country. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ. Allah is the provider, owner of power, the most strong. That's who you turn to for your rizq. Your rizq, rather, your unchangeable rizq was written for you, as we mentioned, when you were in your mother's womb. Sprint in this life or walk or relax, the amount of provision Allah wrote for you is going to be the same. It's not going to be more or any less. عن أنس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله وكل بالرحم ملكا فقال أي رب نطفة. Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, Allah put an angel in charge of the womb. The angel of the womb. He says, oh Allah, when one's in the womb. Oh Allah, a drop. Meaning, should I go ahead and go ahead forth in a drop? Ay Rabbi alaqa. Oh Lord, a clot. Is it now time for a clot? Ay Rabbi, gets permission from Allah. Ay Rabbi mudgha. Oh Allah, a morsel. فَإِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ خَلْقَهَا قَالْ أَيْ رَبِّ شَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. When Allah desires to complete the creation of the baby, the fetus, He says, wretched or happy? The angel asks, is he going to be among the wretched or happy? أَذَكَرٌ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Oh Allah, He gets the permission every step of the way. Male or female? فَمَا الرِّزْقُ وَمَا الْأَجَلْ. قال فيكتب ذلك في بطن أمه. He asks the final question. What's the provision? What's his provision? How long is his lifespan? The last two questions. And then he writes that while he's still in his mother's womb. I'm not going to say your destined rizq was written when you were in your mother's womb, but even before that. That's when the angel of the womb and the angels found out about it. That's only when the angels got their homework pertaining to those matters. 50,000 years before Allah created the heaven and the earth, not before you were born, before the heavens and the earth were created, every last drop of water coming to you was documented. Not even every drop of water, that's still too big. Every tiny provision you're going to get was written for you. Even if it's small as a quark or a lepton or any of those small particles that are even small particles that make up an atom. If there's anything smaller than that, Allah of your provision, Allah wrote it. If it's destined for you, it's been written for you. And even before it was written, in 50,000 years before that, Allah in His eternal ghayb knew that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. Allah wrote down. Allah written down the in the book in اللوح المحفوظ. The measures. Allah wrote down the measures of the creation 50,000 years before the heavens and the earth were created. That's why matters of this life, Allah speaks about them in the terminology of walk. You have an item waiting for you. Walk to it. Take your time. It's not going anywhere. The chalkboard over there. In the back. If I say to you, all of you, it's not going nowhere, that chalkboard. It's for you, Muhammad. Now, or 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, I'm going to sit here and watch it. It's not going nowhere. It's guaranteed for you. No one else is going to touch it. It's for you. You would be foolish to get up right now and sprint and grab it. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. It is He, Allah, who made this earth subservient to us. So walk in its path and eat of His provision. Walk. What you need to be sprinting for is the matters of the life after, the matters that are not guaranteed. The levels of Jannah is what you need to be sprinting for. فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Strive and run for those matters. Next, part of knowing Allah al-Razzaq is knowing He's also wise in giving provision. Many people today utter day and night, Allah is wise, the all-wise. And they preach it. But at nighttime they contradict it by complaining to others of Allah and about their poverty. They complain to other than Allah about their poverty. Yet they say Allah is wise and al-Razzaq. Allah said, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِي لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If Allah were to enlarge the provision for some of His slaves, they would rebel on this earth. وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ. He sends by measures in quantities. There is many those who know Al-Razzaq and Al-Hakim. And the Razzaq and the Hakim that you believe in knows that if He gives you some funds, you'll misappropriate them. And they're not good for you. So that's part of believing in a Razzaq al-Hakim. Your aqidah in this is that you accept the status that Allah gave you because you don't know your situation, rich or poor, whether that will, if it changes from one status to another, whether it will result to your change of status from wretched to being happy or happy to being wretched, or the opposite. You don't know how it will change you. You never object to al-Hakim. If I get into any one of your personal business, and I say, why'd you buy that $20,000 car, not the $10,000 or $5,000 car, or less than that? Why'd you get an iPhone and sign the 2-year contract? You should have stayed with a vintage phone in, that has only voice and possibly text. Why'd you just give your wife $500 to go to the mall? Your natural reaction is to tell me, who do you think you are to object to my decisions? Who are you, Ahmed Jibril, to object to my decisions and judge my wisdom? That's my business. You're right. You're actually right. Who am I to interfere with your wisdom in your internal family business, in your affairs? But again, who are you to judge the divine wisdom of Allah? Al-Hakim al-Razzaq. أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيَّةً وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Who do you think you are to portion out the mercy of Allah? That's not your business. Who are you to portion out the mercy of your Lord? Your provision of your Lord? We portion out between the humans, the creation, the livelihood in this world. And we raise, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضًا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. We raise some of them above others in ranks. So they may employ others in their work. Some are rich, high class, medium class, low class, middle class and low class. Those who say, why didn't Allah make me rich so I can build masajid? A lot of people say that. And support the oppressed and do and do. In a sense, somewhat, some may be disgruntled with the division of Allah. If they just want to do good, that's different. But if they're internally disgruntled with Allah, don't forget the Ar-Razzaq is the all-wise, the all-knowing. That he knows why he gave you, why he gave it to you. Qarun, and there's many like Qarun, and you know the story of Qarun. You say, the people of Qarun ask the same question, why didn't Allah give us like he gave Qarun? Then, when they seen what happened with Qarun, they regretted it. And in the verse, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَيْنَ أَتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Some made a covenant with Allah saying, if he bestowed on us of his bounty, we would give in charity. A lot of people say that. And we'll certainly, لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. We're going to be among those who are righteous. We're going to give. Let us give us. Why doesn't he give us? So we can give in charity and we can be righteous. What happened after they got it? فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. When Allah gave them his bounty, they became cheap and turned away from Allah. The result is, objecting to Allah's command. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. He punished them by putting hypocrisy into their hearts until the day that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهُ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Because they breached their covenant and because they were liars. By the way this verse was revealed, you know that it's not something to object about what Allah gave you a provision. And this, let me say before I forget, this verse was not revealed by Tha'laba, as the popular story is. A Sahabi named Tha'laba and that got rich and then went. That's a fabricated story. The true proper reason for the revelation was what Ibn Hajar mentioned through Ibn Wahab and Ibn Zayd, that it's a group of munafiqeen. Tha'laba was a man who stood firm in the battle of Badr. Don't be displeased. The point of it is, don't be displeased with what Allah has chosen for you. Seek means no problem. But when you become displeased in your heart at Allah and the destiny Allah chosen for you, low class, middle class, high class, whatever it is, then there becomes a deficiency in our topic today, belief in Ar-Razzaq. When Allah is Al-Alim Al-Razzaq, He gave it to you for wisdom. When He is Al-Hakim Al-Razzaq, He deprived you for wisdom. So never object. Part of believing in this tawheed is to be fully content with what Allah has given you provision. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah gives this dunya to whom He likes and dislikes. But the akhirah is only for those who Allah likes. Thinking and judging that Allah gives this dunya to who's more favorable to him in the akhirah levels is an aspect that Kuffar Quraysh used to have. وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. They used to bolster to the Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba, we got more than you guys. We got more than you. We have more wealth, we have more children, and we're not going to be punished. Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The reply is, tell them, Muhammad, Allah enlarges His provision to whomever He wills and whoever He wants to restrict. Allah gives His provision in this life for those He likes and dislikes, but only gives success in the high levels in the akhirah for those He loves and likes. Hatim al-Asam was asked once, how did your tawakkul on Allah become so strong? He said, I believe that no one will take my provision, so my heart became content. I knew that death awaits me, so I prepared my baggage for that journey. I know my actions, no one can perform them but me, so I became occupied in them. I'm too busy in my work. Number four, I knew Allah watches me and sees me, so I became ashamed to let Him see me doing any sins. They said, so where do you eat from? They seen Him so content, so relaxed, so laid back. So where you eat from? He responded, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. To Allah belongs the treasures of the heaven and the earth, but the hypocrites do not comprehend that. Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said, I depend on Allah for my provision. And I have no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that my provision will come to me. And then he went on to say, provision will come to me, my rizq will come to me, even if it's coming from the deep, dark ocean, the bottom of the deep, dark ocean, so why should I grieve or be sad over it? Why be depressed about it? Relax. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتعود بطانا. The hadith narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you all relied on Allah as you should rely on Him, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم, He would have provided you. Just like He provides birds. They wake up hungry in the morning and return with full stomachs at dusk time. تغدو خماصا. تغدو in the hadith means they go early. They go early in the day with empty stomachs. They go meaning they do something. وتعودوا or تروحوا in a narration means they return late in the evening. بطانة means with full provision. True tawakkul, what you take from that hadith, true tawakkul is full reliance of the heart on Allah using the means available. He didn't say Allah will provide you like He provides that bird laying in the nest. He says, تغدو تروح. That's why I specified the definition of those words. Like a bird that goes and returns. Tawakkul is firm belief in the heart, dependent, that put in dependence in the heart on Allah using the means available. That's the true meaning of tawakkul in the matter of rizq. Ibn Abi Dunya narrated that people came to Medina one time. And Umar, as usual, anytime he seen foreigners in Medina, outsiders, he'd ask them. And he seen people, he knew they were from Yemen. So he said, who are you? Meaning, give me more about yourself. They said, نحن المتوكلون. We're the one who depend on Allah. He said, you're mutawakilun. You depend on each other, not on Allah. He said, al-mutawakilun, the real mutawakilun, are those who put the seeds in the ground with their reliance on Allah. Your heart, this is all part of believing in a Razzaq. Your heart hangs with Allah, the creator and the controller of all means you gotta believe part of that. Don't harm and benefit. They don't provide nor take from you. Your provision, the order for it, comes from the creator, Ar-Razzaq. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tastari said a golden word about this whole matter. He says, whoever neglects means has neglected the sunnah. And whoever neglects tawakkul, the reliance on Allah, neglects iman. Tawakkul is the state or status of the Prophet. Whoever's on the status of the Prophet can't leave out the sunnah of the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known to take beans. Look at his life in Hijrah. He depended on Allah all throughout his life, every moment of his life, fully. Yet he used the means available to him. When he went, he took the guide with him to Mecca, to Medina. He hid in the cave. Did he say, Abu Bakr, I'm the best man to walk on the face of the earth, and you are the second best, the best man after the messengers to walk on the earth. So just let us just lay open in the open desert with knowing that there's 100 bounty camel on my head and your head, and Allah is going to protect us. That's tawakkul, not tawakkul. He went in a cave. He found a secluded cave away from them. One he thought that they wouldn't see. And then he said, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. You use the means, but your heart is fully with Allah. Sometimes there's no means to us. But whether there is or there's not, if there is, you use the means. If there's not, you have no choice. But in both case scenarios, your heart is fully attached to Allah. If the Prophet ﷺ was hungry, did he wait for food to drop from the sky, or did he go and prepare and eat and sit and eat in Badr? 1,000 men versus 3,000. 300. 300 of the Sahaba versus 1,000. He didn't say, oh my friends, put your weapons down, let's just sit here and make dua. And the closer they come, let your dua shout more and more, louder and louder. The heads are flying off, let it be louder and louder. That's the thinking of some deviant groups today. No, he thought, make dua, but he prepared. He made dua himself until his upper garment fell off. While Abu Bakr felt bad for him for making all that dua. And the Prophet Abu Bakr behind him put in his upper garment on him. He then aligned them. He positioned them in front so the believers will not get any of the water wells, so that all the water would be behind them. He told them, hold fire until they come and you can see the whiteness in their eyes. Then after you see that, then you can proceed. That is the same as rizq. You seek a job, but the heart is fully, fully attached to only Allah. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. He made the earth subservient to you, so walk in it. No, walk in the path, and eat from His provision. He said, walk, فَامْشُوا, pursue, search, فَامْشُوا, look at that. He said, famshu. He didn't say it's going to come to you. Seek it. Pursue it. Your rizq, pursue it. Do the means. Don't sit and expect it to come to you. That's also additional benefit from famshu. Like the word walk in this verse is delicate. It means, yes, go for your rizq, but don't stress for it. Allah wrote it for you. So don't go after this dunya like a galloping horse in the outskirts. Maryam alayhi salam, when she gave birth to Isa, in her agony, in her birth, in her pain, in the midst of her agony, Allah says, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِبْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Shake the trunk of the tree, the date palm tree. If you shake it, it will fall from it fresh, ripe dates for you. Anyone tell me how a man, a strong man, the strongest man out of all of you, can shake a palm tree and bring the dates down? How's a woman in labor going to do that? The lesson really is, depend on Allah, Maryam. But do the little means. Just shake it. Touch that tree. And try to shake it. And then the rest is on Allah. Submit the resume. Go to the interview. Put the offer on the business in the house. And at the same time you're doing it, before and after, no, it's coming from the sky. Your heart should, your mind should be elsewhere. Your mind should be in the sky. If he wants you to get it, no one's going to deprive you from it. And if he doesn't want you to get it, there's no one going to get it for you. The bottom line is that your heart must be fully attached to Allah. Once that heart is attached to a job or the business for risk, then there's a deficiency in the belief of that Allah is al-Razak. No matter how small that percentage is, it's a deficiency right there. Ibrahim ibn Adham was preparing a barbecue. He was cutting up meat to eat to barbecue it. A cat took a slice of that meat and ran off with it. Ibrahim looked and seen that she didn't really eat it. She took it to a distance as he was monitoring it and put it in an open field by a hole in the ground. So he walked close to it. He monitored the situation, watching. Why didn't it come back to eat it? Suddenly, a snake with its eyes popped out, a blind snake, comes out from the hole and takes it and goes right back in. A cat and snake are enemies. They're prey and predator. Ibrahim looked at the sky and said, praise be to Allah. He made enemies provide sustenance and provision for each other. Some in the past used to make the dua, Allahumma ya man yarzuqu an'abata fi 'ushiha. An'abata fi 'ushiha. Na'aba is the chick of a crow. In Arabic, a crow is a ghurab. So the crows are species that are ranked among the most intelligent animals. The crow, their chicks hatch blind, helpless, covered with just skin, and weigh probably a little bit over half an ounce. The crow is black. The chick, when it hatches, is pink. It's believed that when the crow sees the chicks, they're not black. It leaves for a long period of time, or possibly for forage, to get food. The baby crows, depending on their stage, will need to be fed approximately every 30 minutes. The mom is gone in either disappointment or to get the food. And the baby needs food every 30 minutes. This is an-na'aba. Oh Allah, provide me like you provide an-na'aba in her nest. So al-Razzaq sends that lonely chick insects, bugs, grasshoppers, weevils, berries, spiders, whatever it may be, on its beak, attracted to its beak, so it can eat it until the mother either returns with food or from the disappointment to see the feathers are black. That's why they used to say, Allahumma ya man yarzuqul na'abata fi 'ushiha, like, oh Allah, provide me like you provide that little baby chick of a crow. Who provided the helpless baby crow insects, provisions, while the mother and father were gone? Who provided the helpless, blind snake a piece of flesh right at its hole from its enemy, a cat, prey and predator? هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. Is there a creator other than Allah who provides for you from the sky and heaven? It is al-Razzaq. It is al-Razzaq. Mankind think in a narrow sense that rizq is materialistic, like we said in the beginning of the class. That's why many cry poverty. Ibn Samak, a preacher, he was an advisor to Harun al-Rashid. Harun used to always consult with him and keep him by his side to remind him. Harun al-Rashid was the man, the Khalifa, who used to tell the cloud, go rain wherever you want, your wealth is going to return to me. Harun wanted a cold glass of water once. And it must have been that he kept asking for it over and over again. He repeatedly asked for a cold glass of water. It caught the attention of Ibn Samak next to him, his advisor, so he wanted to give him some consultation. Ibn Samak said, after he drank it, what would you do if no water was available to you and you're forced to trade for this cup of water? You're supposed to give something for it. Harun al-Rashid said, for sure, most certainly, I'd give at least half my kingdom, if not more. After he drank the cup, Ibn Samak said, what would you give if you weren't able to release the waste of that water from your body unless you traded something for it? Harun al-Rashid said, I would certainly give the other half of my wealth, if more. If I had more and I needed, I would give even more than that. Ibn Samak cried to the Khalifa. He said, drink, Khalifa, drink. May Allah bless you. Fie upon a kingdom that could easily be traded for a cup of water. Ushrab ya Sayyidi. Ushrab hanna'ak Allah uffin limulkin la yishtara uffin limulkin la yishtari sharbatama. I memorized poems from Sheikh Kishk when I was a kid, and I used to hear his lectures, the eloquent speaker, rahmatullah alayh. He used to say, هي القناعة فاحفظها تكن ملكا ولو لم يكن لك إلا راحة البدن. Be content. He actually said it when a Shah of Iran died. Be content. You'll feel like a king even if you don't have what peace of mind. وانظر لمن ملك الدنيا بأجمعها هل راح منها بغير القطن والكفن. Look at those who rule the globe. Look at those who rule the globe in their entirety. Did they leave this earth but with cotton and shrouds? Remember how we defined risk? Why do you look at it as money in your account alone? Risk is your aqidah. Your aqidah is among the biggest risks you can have. It is the biggest risk you can have. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Belief in the qadr of risk is aqidah. Once you establish this firm in your heart, which we're trying to get to, you live a content life. Having a deficiency in the belief in Ar-Razzaq, our topic today, is dangerous. In Sunan Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man nazalat bihi faqa." Authentic hadith. Whoever gets faqa is usually a financial hardship. Whoever gets in a financial hardship, faqa. فَأَنْزَلَهَا بِالنَّاسِ. He turns to people. He depends on him. Depends on him in his heart. لم تسد فاقته. His hardship will not be fulfilled. وَمَنْ نَزَلَتْ بِهِ فَاقَ فَأَنْزَلَهَا بِاللَّهِ. Okay, whoever gets a financial hardship and turns to Allah for help. فَيُوشِكُ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِرِزْقٍ عَاجِلٍ أَوْ آجِلٍ. فَيُوشِكُ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِرِزْقٍ عَاجِلٍ أَوْ آجِلٍ. Allah will bring him his rizq sooner or later. Focus on this ayah. وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ رِزْقًا مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. Give me your full attention. They worship others besides Allah, who do not and cannot and absolutely cannot have any provision or control over provision from the heaven and the earth. In Arabic, if you were to remove the two words in this ayah, rizq and shay'a, remove rizq, provision, and shay'a, anything, the meaning stays good. So why these two extra words? We said the Quran is delicate. These words are there for a purpose. So what's the meaning? To add affirmation that the only one who can provide rizq is Allah. النَّكِرَ فِي سِيَاقِ الْإِثْبَاتِ تُفِيدُ الْإِطْلَاقِ. Rule of usul. Focus. Both these words in the ayah, rizq and shay'a, are indefinite nouns. Ism nakira. Rizq and shay'a, those two words I said, that are extra are indefinite nouns. The rule in usul is the indefinite noun, ism al-nakira, in the context of a general sentence, denoting, affirming, declaring, establishing, indicates absolute, unconstrained, unconditional, unrestricted matter. And nakira fi siyaq al-ithbat tufid al-itlaq. Pay attention, I'm going to explain it more. These rules are complex as it is, and it only gets harder when you explain them in English. So you gotta give me double the attention you regularly give me. If you have a sentence affirming something, declaring, establishing, then there's a nakira, indefinite noun. That means it's absolute. That indicates it's absolute, unconstrained, unrestricted. Adding a nakira that's otherwise not essential gives it, basically, exaggerated, absolute, unconstrained, unrestricted meaning. That's the point right there. Meaning, here comes the meaning. Those who they worship other than Allah have absolutely, absolutely not a tiny bit of control over rizq. Let's take the first indefinite noun to shed more light at what I'm trying to talk about. He added to their nothingness, they already had nothing, he added to their nothingness, shay'a, the word any. Okay, Ya Allah, you told us they don't have anything, no control. No control over provision. So why did you add shay'a? They have nothing. So why did you add anything to nothing? If I say to any of you, what's your paycheck this week? Your paycheck after everything clear is $201.05. Would any of you tell me, if I say, what's your paycheck? You're going to say $201.05. You're going to say $200. We're not sitting here doing your income tax, so you're going to say $200. You round it off, because 105 is so little, so minute, so insignificant, that you don't even count it. A second example to get this rule that I'm talking about, because you understand them more with examples. If I say to you, what time is it now? 1:59. Okay. Does anyone tell me 1:59? Everyone's going to round it off and say it's 2 o'clock. A third example. If someone has no wealth, may have a little bit of wealth. Do you tell me, what do you tell me if I ask you about his financial situation? He has nothing. The common terminology. He has nothing. There is something. But it's so little, so minute, so tiny, so insignificant that you consider it nothing. It's rounded off. It's a fraction that's rounded off. That is why the indefinite noun, shay'a, was added. Allah wants you to have the pure tawheed in ar-razzaq, and he wanted to eliminate any tiny doubt that anyone other than Allah has any provision. There's not even the super slight change, there's not even the super slight chance that one may have any tiny significant control or rule over rizq other than Allah. Shay'a, anything. That's why the indefinite noun was added. So the verse is saying, they worship those who have absolutely no control over rizq. Absolutely. Not even those tiny fractions that may be considered by some. Those the mushrikeen worship, they don't have any tiny, rounded off fraction of control or rule over rizq. The conclusion, why so much emphasis? Why? This is to erase the possibility that we may have any thought or doubt that anyone has any little crumb or power in control over rizq to affirm, to fulfill your heart with full and pure tawheed to ar-razzaq. Two nakira. Come to affirm this. Two, not one. Shay'an was one. Shay'an one. The same thing we mentioned about shay'a, rizqa two. They were added to eliminate the thought that there may be that tiny fraction that people neglect, that round off, like the 105, the 1 minute, one having a little bit of provision, and then you say he has nothing, to eliminate even that possible tiny thing, that there isn't even a rounded off figure in the matter. They have absolutely no control over rizq. Okay, we got the general wording of the verse that those mushrikeen worship those who have no rule or control over rizq. That's the general wording. It already tells it all. To top it off, we have two nakira, shay'an and rizqa, to add emphasis to show not a crumb of power or a rounded off fraction of power do they have over rizq. We're not done there. Allah wants pure tawheed. The third thing in the matter, the end of it. وَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. The verse at the end says, and they cannot. They're unable to. Sometimes you may have power to do something, but the opportunity is not there. Allah wanted to eliminate that thought too. Belief in Ar-Razzaq is no joke. It's firm. It's deep. وَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. وَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. They don't have the power and they don't have the ability to rule over rizq. No power and no ability. Once you affirm absolute tawheed in Ar-Razzaq, you live at peace and at ease. You live at peace and at ease. You live at peace and at ease knowing it's among the biggest sources for today's anxiety disorders and depression and stress and traumatic stress. And it's when you know it's from Allah, you live at ease and peace. You live in the hands of Allah. You live a stress-free life. Keep your heart with Allah. If you're rejected from a university or a job, don't even feel down or sad. Take it with a smile and walk away. Your interview goes back. It wasn't meant by Allah because it's in the sky. The creation, that creation that you see in a suit and a tie before you, conducting the interview, he couldn't raise his finger nor move his lips or utter a word except what Allah wanted him to do. You're going to the interview because Allah wants you to go with the means, to seek the means. But before, during, and after, your heart must be in complete attachment with Allah. Your heart got to be in another world. Allahu yahulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbi. Allah comes between that person, you think is a boss interviewing you. Allah comes between him and his heart. Allah can make him utter that which he wants. Yahulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbi. Affan ibn Muslim al-Saffar was sheikh for Bukhari. In the fitna of khalq al-Quran, Affan was a alim. And they were scanning, they started by the ulama, scanning the ulama, interrogating them, pertaining to the matter of the creation of the Quran. They got to Affan's house. The governor wanted to interrogate him. The interrogator told Affan, I got orders from the wali that I need to ask you these questions. Is the Quran the word of Allah or creation? We know what Ahl Sunnah position is and what they back then used to spread. Affan said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Is that created? So he basically began to explain. He's a alim. He wants to start talking and explaining to the man. The interrogator said, look, Affan, I'm not here to debate. I got these questions to ask you. I got to write the answer. And let me advise you. When they take you to prison, then you can explain away over there. And he also said, let me advise you more. If you say it's the creation of Allah, you get higher. From my experience, he's telling him, the people who said that, they get higher rank, their salary goes up, they be at peace and ease. Those who don't say it was created, from my experience, this is the interrogator telling them, they start off by taking your salary, then your family, and you get hungry, and it only gets worse after that. Affan said, the Quran is the word of Allah. It's not created. Kalamullah. The interrogator said, you know where this statement's going to take you? He told him the verse that we mentioned, the first one I mentioned, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. Tawheed kicks in at these times. That's how you know if you have proper tawheed. The tawheed melted into iman and ihsan. The interrogator wrote the report and they cut his salary. After midnight, Affan wakes up to a knock at the door. Someone's knocking very hard at the door. He found it's an older man, a Zayyat. A Zayyat is an oil salesman. His clothes are dirty. You know how oil salesmen, oil, because they worked with oil. Oil all over them. It's a low, look down upon job. But this oil man took it upon himself to care for the causes of this ummah. He said, "Who are you?" The Zayyat is asking him, "Who are you?" He said, "Affan ibn Muslim." He said, "You're the man the government cut his salary for speaking the truth earlier today?" He said, "Yes." He possibly heard it in the community, in the market, in the masjid. He said, "Here's a surah, here's a money pouch with 1,000 dinar. And every month, this time, I'm going to bring you a similar bag until Allah provides you a way out." That was actually more than the government was paying Affan ibn Muslim. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. Today the ummah may no longer have a salesman with jealousy like that man did, like that oil salesman did. But the provider who sent that salesman, that oil salesman, will send you different means. Because the provider, Ar-Razzaq, is there. Let me conclude, because the time is running out, with this story for the sisters who follow us, especially through the internet, whose husbands are in prisons. Or single mothers as well. And actually for all of us. There's a contemporary man in Egypt. Went to prison. Very poor as is. So when he went to prison, his wife has two kids. She had to move with her parents. It's the same thing repeated all over and over. Those whose family members went to prison, they'll tell you the same story. One day, her son got sick. Got very high fever. No transportation. She's in her parents' house now. No transportation. And even if there was transportation, there's no money to pay the doctors. So she turned to Allah all night long. 1 minute dua in salah, 2 rak'ahs. In deep agony, in pain, in sujood, in dua. Then she would tend to her baby, changing the bathing towels on his head and body. And as you know, only mothers can talk about what they feel when their children are ill. May Allah grant my mother and all your mothers Firdaus al-A'la for the suffering they suffered for us. Then she would go and soak the bathing towel in cold water and place them all over her son, his forehead and his body, and take a break in salah. 2 rak'ahs. Deep, dark, lonely, long night. Cries and shouts of desperation to Allah. And that's when the dua is most likely to get answered. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. The one who responds to the distress when he calls on to him. Late at night, the knocking comes at her door. She put on her hijab. She opened the door. It's a doctor. A doctor's suit, white robe. This is a contemporary story. The doctor answered the door, but he in reality answered the order of Allah. The doctor at her door, she was astonished, has no means. She doesn't know what's going on. And limiting her communication with men, she watched as the doctor diagnosed the baby, wrote the prescription, gave her words of comfort. Then he told her, the bill is so-and-so. He handed her the bill. Here's the bill. And you pay for house calls. You pay right on the spot. It's well known back then. And it's still known. In Arabic countries, I remember, till recently, that the doctor comes, you pay him on the spot. She said, "What? I have no money." He said, "Where's your husband who called me?" She said, "He's my husband's in prison. He didn't call you. My husband's been in prison for some time. He said, you make a late call at night and you have no husband to pay for me?" He said, "Isn't this apartment 18? She said, "No, the apartment 18 is right down the hall. That's next door. So the doctor was astonished at how he came here and there really was someone sick. He said, SubhanAllah, what's your situation, lady? Tell me what it is. She told him her story. She began to cry as she was telling her story. And he began to cry. He said, Wallahi, it was Allah who took me out of my bed to come to see your son. Give me that prescription back. Let me get the medicine from my car. And here's some money for you. And every week or so, I'll come and check up on you. Not only that, he continued to check up on her and give her from the charity that Allah gave him. The woman began to tease her husband who was in prison. She said, you might want to stay longer in prison because Allah, the Razzaq, is taking care of us more than you did when you were here. And with this, we'll conclude. Jazakallah.